You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one, go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge, who takes the Pandora Cup, takes the universe. But, bad news everyone, cause guess who? Ha, listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man, and I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero, and I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO Network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next.
Hello, and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a timely review, and the word and the emphasis is timely, review of Captain America Civil War. So unlike Batman vs. Superman, which was weeks before I got to do the actual review, this is actually within the exact same week, more or less. So, good for you if you are waiting to hear what we thought. Just to let you know, Gene and I did record our conversations once more in a car driving to a location that we frequently go to on Tuesdays. But what I want to talk about after that segment is over is going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Emancipation episode, which aired after the movie came out. So we'll talk about that briefly again at the end of that segment I'm going to play. So go ahead, sit back. I'm sure you'll enjoy our conversation in the car about Captain America Civil War.
Here he comes. It's Mr. Gene, and he's wearing some kind of t-shirt. That's lots of greens.
Hey, Monster. How you doing? What's going on? Sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, you're late.
Well, you know, you get the phone call and I'm hearing your text message. I'm like, crap, I can't take the text message. I got this phone call from this guy long distance I'm talking to. I haven't seen it in a while. I'm like, yeah, I know what it is. But I'm like, I can't read it. I'm listening. I'm talking. Like, yeah, that's really. Then you pull up. I'm like, shit, listen, I gotta go. So
the house is on fire.
Right, exactly.
Wait, call Jimmy John's.
What? Is that what we're supposed to do?
I don't know. That's where you get the fire department. So you get all these people to come in.
Well, no, that's not firehouse subs.
No, Jimmy John's is fast.
Okay. How fast? How fast is Jimmy John? Jimmy John's that fast?
That fast, huh?
Yeah.
Boom. All right.
Where are we going?
I don't know. What do you feel like?
I don't know. What do you want?
Well, today is Tuesday. So,
Taco Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right. I don't care. They have beer. I'm happy.
There we go.
All right. So how do we start this? Do you talk first?
Oh, you talk first? I can't hear you from the mask.
Oh, that's all right.
Call me Matt. Matt?
Matt, really?
I have an 8-pack.
I'm shredded, yeah.
All right. So, you saw this with Lori.
I did. Lori didn't want to see it.
Okay.
Lori knew nothing about it. But in the end, Lori was like, I like this. This is good.
Okay.
Every bit of dialogue with Spider-Man on the screen, my entire audience was laughing.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, all right, well, shit, I don't think that's that funny, but okay.
Well, you know, it was funny to them. It's not us anymore.
You train monkeys.
I know. I train them, and they pee all over my face.
They still throw their poop. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, goddamn dirty apes. They're going to overthrow us.
Oh, you cut him. Oh, you cut him. Damn it.
Damn it all to hell.
Oh.
What was your...
Are you recording this?
Yeah, I'm recording this.
Okay.
Well, what's your initial reaction? Because this was a lot of shit going on.
My opinion about this movie was that it blew your theory away.
With
the don't do sequels. Because I thought this was better than Winter Soldier. In fact, I would go on record as saying...
No, well, the sequel thing was don't do sequels with the same director.
Well, this is a sequel.
I know. Which is...
And I sat there watching this film going, wow, it's balanced. It's perfectly balanced. And I thought, wow, so that means that Joss Whedon was kind of a fluke with the Avengers? I don't want to say, but he just didn't play well with others.
You know what? If you made Joss Whedon into two people, like Superman Red and Superman Blue,
uh-huh.
I think it would have helped because of the Russo brothers being separate... And
right,
literally,
two people. Right,
two people.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay,
you maybe there's more balance.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You focus on Team Cap America, and you guys keep, you know, Iron Man.
I'll deal with the studios.
Right,
you do the movie
or something to that effect. You need to have that kind of weird relationship, like you know the Wachowski brothers or Wachowski.
Now they're both women.
Siblings.
They're both transgender.
Sisters.
Which is I don't understand
yeah.
that.
So I think because it's such a big ass film, it might have worked better if Joss. Had another person with him just to help out, saying, hey...
Drew Goddard, where are you? You helped with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Please help me. You're my only hope. Drew Goddard.
So more balanced.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Okay.
And yet, I was treated. It was... It fired on all cylinders. Every character got their piece.
Yeah.
You know? And I was... very happy.
Okay.
You
don't sound very happy. You just like
no. I don't want to gush too much. I was just the thing is like with Dawn of Justice. I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't even need to see this shit again. This is shit. I gave you my fucking money. Let me out. Let me out. You know what I mean? Damn it! You fucking screwed me. Fuck you. And when Zack Snyder's Justice League movie comes out, they're gonna screw us again. I think.
Hopefully not.
Because it's stuck in that universe.
I know.
But the Civil War thing, I'm like, I am happy to be here. I'm going to be here again. I'm going to pay more money to see this again in the movie theater. Yeah. Maybe in 3D. Maybe in IMAX. Because it was a happy thing. There was a hope. You know what I mean? And even the ending was like, wow, this is really unsettling. You know? It ends on a really bad note. You know, that shield's not yours. My father made that shield.
Fine.
But I mean, just to go to that petty level, but you completely understand it. You know, did you know? Because that moment, it's like, yeah, if you say, no, I didn't, and you comfort me, it might be okay. But yeah, I think I kind of did. But all right, we got to fight.
I think that was the crux of the whole problem that I had, is that moment. About Bucky killing Tony's parents.
They opened the film with it.
I know you see that, but where do we see this where Steve gets some kind of knowledge that this happened and Bucky was responsible? To me, it was taken out of, like, all right, fine, we got to make him some kind of connection to the death of Iron Man's parents and Cap knew or Bucky is responsible. I'm like, it just felt like you were just like.
You feel it feels forced.
Yes, because it came out of nowhere. But then I thought about this. Remember in Winter Soldier, when they're downloading or looking at information on the old computers and what's his name? The computer generated.
Right, whatever. I got it. Yeah,
okay.
I got it.
There was information about. People had died, and one of the headlines was Tony Stark's dad being killed in a car crash. But it's an old, it's a young picture of Tony Stark's dad.
It's not perfect.
No. What I'm saying is that that's where, in my head, where he got that information.
I don't know. Either way, whether he knew it or not, whatever.
I know.
But the movie's called Captain America Winter, Civil War.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was surprised that while we are featuring a lot of their friendship, you know, more Bucky, more Cap. I'm like, I really don't care about Bucky that much.
Right. Okay. And that's the other thing, too. I couldn't give a shit about their relationship. I never felt any kind of connection. Like, why would Cap go to the nth degree to save him? It's not as if when we saw them first at the first Captain America movie, where, you know, Steve wanted to be a soldier, but he got rejected once again. And, you know, they were friends, but I don't see them as being...
But they're best friends. From back when, you know what I mean? I mean, Bucky picks him up out of the dirt, you know, and...
I know, I get that, but... Look, you and I even got into our own little civil war back in the days of Borders.
Right.
Okay, and we split for a while because of, you know... Something that happened.
Yeah, but she was mine, Monty. She liked me. I thought... No, never mind.
I had the $20 first.
Wow. You didn't deserve that lap dance. I had a retention. She was coming over to
me. She was my private dancer. She was my dancer for money. And I told her to do her... To do me what I want her to do. Whatever.
Oh, that's terrible.
All right. Okay. So, my thing was just like... Okay. Since that time, and, you know, we've gone through our periods in which, you know, you moved away, and you come back, and then we get busy, and then we get out of sync, but then we get back in sync, and I get that. But with Steve, he's got such great gaps of years. It's not like, you
right,
know...
But that's the thing. He's still living in 1940. So his mindset, he's the idealist, you know?
But...
And it doesn't work, but I think it's nice to have a principled man like that stand up for you and believe in you, even though it's a little weird, you know? And it's strange, the whole juxtaposition about the whole, I'm Captain America, but I'm going against the government. I'm Tony Stark, but I'm going for the government, even though I'm like a radical...
Yeah,
like,
well, God, that one I understood. I understood, because the whole thing with Pepper and him, like...
That was weird. I didn't understand the like of Pepper. I'm like,
yeah.
You went to Poulter and said, like, I'll be in the movie. Like, no, we're not paying you.
Yeah.
Like, really? You just...
That's what it was?
I think so. From what I think I've been able to research and find out. Okay. They want... She was like, I'll come back. I'll do it, you know.
Right.
But they're like, no, we don't want him. But the thing is that either way, at the end of Iron Man 3...
He destroys everything.
And after the... Wait, let me get this straight, Tony. You created Ultron.
Right.
You know, you created this...
So okay. You're back to your shit again.
Right, I'm done with you.
Right.
Let's take which, up.
Which
fine.
Makes perfect sense. So what he needs to do is kind of make up for shit that he's done and fucked up. So, him siding with the government, you know, I'm trying to do something fucking right. Which is blinding him to begin with, because he realizes later on, shit, he fucked up again.
The funny thing is that he is so burnt out.
Yeah,
you know, the MIT speech, I'm sponsoring everything, I don't... Because he's trying to make amends.
Right.
And he's just really exhausted throughout the entire film.
Very much. Even the meeting they had with Secretary Ross...
He's not saying anything.
He was just like, fuck.
Yeah, well, the Cap's not going to take it.
If there was one
here's
moment...
Here's some pens. You want to take it?
If there was one moment that really made me happy, I'm like, okay, why is William Hurt there? Please tell me that's Ross.
Yeah.
Please tell me that's Ross.
You didn't know that?
Well, I didn't know he was going to be in there.
Dude, not watching spoilers. My favorite part, though, was that the fact that throughout the entire teaser trailers, right? All the teaser trailers, you see that airport scene. But they erased... They digitally erased Spider-Man. But he's on that airport there. I'm like... This is awesome. I was very happy.
So, that's the other thing, too. My Wonder Woman moment on the trailers.
Mm.
I think if they just kept Spider-Man out altogether, I would have been even more happier about that. So
more happier.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I was fine seeing Spider-Man. I was fine for his little quips. Remember that old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, but come on. Where are you from? Queens. Brooklyn. I was like, wow, Monty must love that. That's like...
No.
No?
Because I'm from the Bronx. What the fuck I care about Queens or Brooklyn?
I don't know what the fuck I know.
Fuck them. So, my things that I think ruined my thing with Spider-Man...
And you never be happy, Monty.
No. Trust me when I say this. Marissa Tomei... It's not fucking Aunt May whatsoever.
I know.
She's a fucking Aunt MILF.
I know.
You know.
And they make a joke about that. I'm like, wait, did you owe her a favor, Robert Downey Jr.? Was that movie you made back in the 80s?
That, Less than Zero? No,
they made a movie together. Remember.
Oh, the pickup artist. No.
No.
Well, whatever.
I don't know. Some whatever. Radio, whatever. Yeah. We'll fix later and insult the voiceover later.
Right. So that kind of, that whole scene between Tony and Peter, whatever his name is, Tom, really did not have to be in there. You could have just deleted the whole thing. Spider-Man shows up out of nowhere. We're like, under ruse. Boom, there's Spider-Man. I would have been fine with that.
No, because it's the recruitment thing. You got to see
all
the pieces.
I know.
I know a guy. And then Ant-Man to the truck for some weird reason.
Of all places.
You know, Berlin. Clint Barton has to get, you know, has to save Wanda. That's the reason that Robert Downey Jr. is now in Homecoming. Because, you're going to be your mentor.
Yeah. I could have done without that whole scene. It was just like, it felt like, you know what, if you need to delete something, that's a deleted
it's
scene.
It's filler.
It's very much filler.
The thing is, you need a scene with Peter Parker. You have to see him in a civilian role. That's why that scene's there. You have to see Peter Parker.
It could have been a lot shorter.
I know, and I thought, this is weird.
Yeah.
And it felt very, for me, it felt out of place, but I'm like, it doesn't matter, though. Again, the audience members were thrilled as shit. And I was kind of like, well, this is strange.
Right, exactly. Okay.
But the thing is, this is goddamn Peter Parker's introduction to the MCU.
Right.
So I was okay with it.
I know.
Stop nitpicking and enjoy it! God damn it, Monty!
No.
God, such a bastard sometimes.
No.
What about Ant-Man? Let's get to the...
No, Ant-Man was fucking great. That was the one...
Here's your shield, Captain America.
One of the few moments that I actually enjoyed Ant-Man.
See it again.
And becoming...
See it again and pay for it this time.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I pay for it, all right, with my time. So don't get me started. I don't know why. Take your kids. No, trust me, we couldn't do this at that time to do this.
I get it.
And again, time is of the essence between you and I, that I had to do what I had to do in order for us to talk about this.
I don't get just.
I know. I'm just saying. Oops, both of them. All right, so.
Over there.
So, yeah, that was great. I fucking loved the fact that he...
Who is this? Your conscience. We haven't talked in a while. Funny. Amazing. Great delivery. Comic timing.
Right. So, I don't know if that was in the trailers or anything like that, but I was very... That was a big surprise moment. I was really happy about that. So,
The airport scene for me is, I think, my favorite scene in that entire movie. The happiest moments of my existence in a Marvel MCU. So happy with that. Kind of like when
the best moment I liked of that. Tasha.
That's how hard you're gonna hit me.
We're still friends, right? Yeah.
still off of the racquetball thing tomorrow, right? Yeah. But then the way that the Scarlet Witch stops and you're pulling your punches. Stop this shit. Get back to work. Yeah. Right.
So, there are moments, and I love those little moments. Overall, I was just like, there are moments I'm just like, oh my God, it just felt flat.
See it in the theater.
I'm sure it
feels better in the theater.
I'm sure it does. But there are moments that I'm like, it just felt very flat. Black Panther, I was okay. I think more than anything else, here we have our situation that it's basically a powder keg. You got a minded person who is deciding, I'm going to get revenge by lighting that.
Which to me was interesting, the whole Baron Zemo thing. I'm like, okay, I know who Baron Zemo is in the comic books.
Right, exactly.
I don't know who he is here. Oh my God, he's another Mandarin. Okay, fine. But still, you know what? Finally, the villain wins. And he doesn't get to die, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
You didn't kill them. Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, that was the one thing that I was just like, really, the one guy that no one even knows about was able to, you know, really light the fuse.
I thought it was strange that, like, so wait, you're giving yourself up? Because he calls the waitress, or the room service,
yeah,
the bacon and thing, and then they find the body, who, by the way, to my understanding, that's one of the Russo brothers doing the cameo of the dead guy.
Which one? They both look alike.
Yeah. I don't know. The fat one. The heavier set one.
Oh, Jesus, this is not car talk. Well, they're both heavy.
Don't drive like you're driving.
Don't drive like my brother.
Are you laughing like Snidely Whiplash? Is that what that is?
No.
Mugsley?
I don't give a fuck anymore. But I think what I also had a problem with was it was very... Okay, I've been through this, and I'm not sure if I'm gone to this point where I'm just kind of burnt out with superhero shit.
You very well might be. You do run the gamut quite a bit.
Yeah.
You do burn the candles at both ends. Maybe you just can't be happy. Maybe you do need a vacation from this stuff.
Mm.
But the thing is, you won't take a vacation. You don't know how to take a vacation.
Well,
but you are hypercritical, though, I would say.
Yeah.
To be fair. Okay, subjectively fair.
From a certain point of view.
I know, exactly. Subjectively fair, i.e.
So,
this movie did everything that I wanted a movie to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It did everything that Dawn of Justice didn't do in many ways, right? First, A, they earned it. All right? B, they moved the whole plot for it. When Peggy Carter died thing, I was like, oh, that's sad. But it's cool, mm-hmm, you know? Because she still has her show.
No, she doesn't.
No?
No.
Canceled?
Canceled.
Because she still had her show.
So I'm like, when I saw the coffin, I was like, and there goes the series. Being put in the ground, well, 6 feet under.
So no more, no renewals, nothing, just six episodes, that was it?
She had 2 seasons.
All right, well.
It would have been perfect for another.
So it would be cheaper to buy on DVD.
Look, my thing, and I talked about this, is that, you know, let's move the founder of S.H.I.E.L.D. into another decade, each season, do something different to move the story along so we see her being in charge or see a different decade with the exact same mindset of the men that were in power that she still has to fight within her group in order to get some kind of fucking recognition. But they didn't do that.
You should take a step back.
No.
No, all I'm saying is this. It would be cool if, say that, preface it with that. No, they should do this.
They should. That's my idea.
You're not there.
No,
and you...
because they stuck in the period, and that's fine. They did one episode in season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
in which something that what she did with the Howling Commandos, which I loved, move.
So, right.
With the Howling Commandos tied into the season opener for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which is a lot easier to do than on TV, 2 TV shows to coordinate than a motion major picture.
Right.
Major motion picture.
So that's exactly what I would like. So she could have done that as well.
So is there a crossover between anything going on between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now and this movie, Civil War, or no?
The trailer that the show comes on today as we're recording this, that Ross, Talbert, the other guy.
Okay.
Remember there was like the Hulkbusters, it was always Ross.
And right, Talbert, I remember.
Okay. Talbert is kind of overseeing-ish S.H.I.E.L.D., but because of the Sokovia Accord, he's saying, well, you can have your Inhumans be coming out as long as they get registered or be part of us.
They gotta let that go. That's right. Like too far away.
And I'm like,
no!
That was your connection. And because now this is gonna have Inhumans on the slates, you're gonna have to like say, well, you know what, forget it. Let's do something else next year. Because we got nothing
go
else.
On hiatus for 2 years. Be like Mad Men. Go on hiatus.
Or Louis C.K. Go away for a couple years and come back and do great seasons after that. But like I said, I enjoy the first half of that season. The second half, after Winter Soldier.
Right, because it got a little speed up.
Right, it was perfect. And again, the recommendation from Dave told me, you got to watch it. And it did its job. So the fallout from this movie to Agents, I'll see it tonight. I'm sure I'll hate myself in the morning for watching it.
I'm sure you will too.
And I think that's...
You know that show's not for your demographic.
It's not that. It's just...
It's a fair TV show at best.
I'm stuck.
I know you're a fanboy. I know.
I'm stuck. Like Sequest.
Tell the story of Sequest, Monty. I would like you to tell the people out there the story of Sequest.
No, Gene. I want you to tell that story.
So years ago, when I first met Mr. Monster... Went over to his home, and, you know, he's there, and he's had a stressful day at work, and, you know, normally I would drink something, but what does he do? He goes, he turns on the Blade Runner soundtrack, he makes himself a drink. It was, I don't think you were drinking back then. No, you weren't drinking. Well, you did drink a little bit, but not that day.
Drinking the hard, soft drinks.
Soft drinks, yeah. He sits there, and he watches Sequest, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Why the hell are you watching? It's a terrible show. And I remember your answer, because there's nothing else to watch.
Right.
Now you have a plethora of things to watch, but you keep
I'm stuck. I'm waiting for that moment to say, hey, did you see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night? Yeah. It was great.
No one in your work environment watches this show.
No one in my vicinity of 50 miles. Well, one or two people.
Perhaps the children at the computer monitor.
No.
They don't have electricity in their homes.
They need to have a home in order to have electricity. No.
They would rather trade that for a decent meal.
To watch Agents.
Or a good pair of shoes. Or a hand phaser.
A hand phaser. Oh, Jesus. So we got Netflix stuff that with the next movie for the Avengers that's not going to be included supposedly. With the Infinity Wars.
You're right. They're not touching the Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. And the things I thought about is like, wow, Iron Man and Captain America aren't friends anymore. And Bucky puts himself on ice. And I realized, it doesn't matter. We're not going to see these characters again until the Infinity, whatever the renamed movie is.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's like 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, so we're getting Black Panther. We're getting...
Doctor Strange first.
Doctor Strange. Yep.
Yeah, and then...
Guardians other stuff. 2.
And did we get another Ant-Man movie?
Ant-Man and
Wasp. Is that
the
Agent Wasp? Phase 3?
Yeah. Right. And Wasp together. And I think, and I hope to God please, Sharon Stone is making some kind of something with Marvel. And
she's too old now.
It's not too old. It's just, you know...
I'll be Captain Marvel.
You know, Catwoman with Halle Berry. And I watch it out of pity. And it's god-awful.
Never seen that movie.
Don't.
I hear it's god-awful.
Don't even drink. Because you want to drink some more.
Gene, you'll die. If you watch this movie, you'll drink and you'll die.
If you give Gene a copy of Catwoman, then he'll want to die. It's something that you should not watch, ever.
But computer-generated Halle Berry? No.
With the torn leather pants and high heels. And then they made the freaking Barbie doll.
I know.
That was just...
I would have liked the Michelle Pfeiffer version, but it was too late. Mm-hmm. You're going to do with the Eartha Kitt thing, huh? Okay.
Yeah, well. Okay, so the question to you. Is this the Avengers 2.5?
I think this is the apology movie for Avengers and Ultron. Because I was so happy. I was like, yes! Oh my God! And then I felt bad for Joss. I'm like, Joss is evil! But I think Joss just got overwhelmed. He had a couple of bad days.
Yeah.
It broke him. You know what I mean? Clearly at the end of the commentary, he's like, and I'm done.
That's it.
Drops the mic, walks away. You know, Joss out. You know,
yeah.
But I don't know. I was so happy because this movie paid off. It gave me everything I wanted. And they're not even pitching the other movie. The only way they pitch the other movie is like,
Homecoming.
Here's Spider-Man. Here's Black Panther. That's it. Yeah. With no four scenes. Mm-hmm. Unlike fucking Age of Ultron, which we're like, and we're going to this cave. We're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I know. That was all. Yeah, I know. Speaking of which, the post-credit scenes in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It's the exact same scene that we see in the movie.
Out of context.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's going on. You're like, what the fuck?
So am I thinking, I'm like, why are you putting this... So it seemed as if this happened short time after the movie. And it makes no fucking sense.
I think it was like, Mr. Whedon, we have to put the teaser scene. I don't care. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
I shot it already.
I'm gonna look at Summerglass feet. I don't know. Do what you want. Because it didn't fit. You're right. It doesn't fit at all.
Yeah.
And because, you're like,
but
usually it's filmed special
right.
for the trailer. But this is like, no, we just grabbed this, cut these 3 second, 3 minute scene or 2 minute scene out of the movie.
Like the first lazy. Avengers, like, selfing, get embodied by Loki. You don't see that, but you know what's coming. Not that. Oh my God, that scene. That Selvig looks in the mirror and he sees
Loki. Right, yeah.
But was in the Avengers? No.
Thor?
Or something or other.
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever. But so, it's filmed special for that.
Right, exactly. Not something you're going to see later on. I'm like, so that's. I'm like, so when did this take fucking place? That's. Okay.
I know. Just a teaser, you know.
I know.
It would have been nice if they went that special distance. I'm sure that when it comes out on DVD, they'll film some weird special with some obscure character.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I did like the way, like, wow, Peggy Carter is the cousin for, or Sherry Carter is the cousin. And yeah. Peggy Carter was like, that's the Martha scene. But done pretty much better because it means something this time. And I love the way the speech, I love the way that Tony Stark comes out of the bathroom and the woman's just there standing for the elevator. He's like, how you doing? He's like, wait, fine, good. And then he's like, oh, you didn't push the button. Why are you here?
Freaks out.
I was like, oh, God, that's happening.
Job hazard. Occupational hazard.
But I was just like, wow, that was so clever. And I like the way that she gives him his motivation and the way that the Peggy Carter funeral gives, you know,
right.
Captain America what he needs to, like, no, I'm not signing this shit. Very well done script. Very solid. And constantly moving. And not heavy-handed. And fun! It was entertaining and engrossing. It made me laugh. You know? Because the characters were serious, but not taking themselves that serious, like Batman and, you know, V Superman. Which is the other, I'm sorry, I'm doing unfair comparisons, comparing too much. But.
No, I know. No, but to me, the reason why...
X-Men. No, go ahead, what?
Well, just another one. We're going to... When that comes out, that's another situation that's going to be a lot of characters to deal with. You know, do they pull it off successfully? But my question is... sorry. Very congested.
No, I called in sick because of cough today.
Yeah. Was that... Well, you took all those movies and all those characters to get to that point. I thought that Batman v Superman did it within the 1-2 movies to get to that point.
Do you think they did that successfully?
Well, it was more concise.
I don't know.
Because you didn't need to have what's his name? Okay, you have the two opposing teams. You have Steve and you have
mm-hmm.
Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had everyone else following in line. Well, it's like you had Superman and you had Batman. You didn't need to have everyone else echoing the exact same...
Right, but the thing is, the idea is like, this is fucking Superman and Batman. You know who these guys are. You know who, like, Laurie thought that Hawkeye was like, Arrow. I'm like, no, that's not Arrow. I'm like, and he explained, like, who was the guy with the Arrow? I'm like, was that Arrow? I'm like, no. But she didn't care.
Well, that's the other thing. For those who don't care, that's fine. Those who probably never saw the endless reboots of Spider-Man don't care.
But you've earned your pain with that, haven't you, sir?
Well, that ends our discussion about Civil War. We did talk a little bit more in the place that we finally ended at, but because of the noise and there was a lot of people there, there was no way that I was able to record or continue the conversation that we had. But the other thing I wanted to point out was the soundtrack, which was done by Henry Jackman, is another thing that kind of bugs me in general about Marvel movies. There are some great themes that we hear, like the Avengers. It has a couple of chords, and then that's about it. But as far as a theme that it's recognizable, kind of like when we hear the John Williams version of Superman or Danny Elfman's Batman, Hans Zimmer's version of Man of Steel, it's very distinct. It's very clear. Even Spider-Man, which was done by Danny Elfman, has a good theme. Ever since Disney really took over this whole franchise, the problem lies in, I guess, to me, because soundtracks are a really big thing to me, is that they need to have their own stuff. I mean, Iron Man, when I think about him, I don't know of a soundtrack or a theme song. I do know that he likes playing a lot of rock music, you know, while he's flying around, AC/DC and so forth. So that's fine. But again, when I think about Captain America, there is something there, but it's very so in the background that I'm like, it might as well not even have music in the first place. So that's one of my disappointments with not just this movie, but in general with a lot of movies that came out with, again, for MCU, with Disney. I mean, even Guardians of the Galaxy, if it didn't have those music from the 80s, then it would have not had a really great impact on me. But can I remember the theme from Guardians? A little bit, but again, that's the, not nitpicking, but again, there needs to be a better way of making these characters who are already recognizable, but have something that's so identifiable with your music would be, to me, making up for a lot of things I didn't like about Captain America. But nonetheless, it's done. And as I talked about earlier, I think I am getting to be the point where I am burnt out watching all these superhero movies. And we had Deadpool earlier. We have now Batman, Superman. We have Captain America Civil War. We have X-Men Apocalypse coming out. And then we have Suicide Squad later on this year. So, yeah. And plus, whatever I've been watching on TV, which is Arrow, Flash, and I'm going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a moment. I think I am to the point like, okay, I'm done. I went to watch episode 6 or 7 of Daredevil season 2. And I enjoy that a lot more because of not so much as some, it's grandiose in the storytelling. It's microcosm dealing with Hell's Kitchen, and the characters are more grounded. They're more flawed. And I think that's also, too, that we do get a sense that these are characters that are stuck with a certain principle, and they're stuck with it, and they go forward with their actions, good or bad. But like with the comics, when we get to these grand storytelling points, sure, the action is good, but if characters don't change, I mean, there is some change somewhat between Captain America and Iron Man, but I don't feel necessarily like Captain America was right or Iron Man was right. I didn't feel anything like that. Again, I'm going to have to watch it again, like everything else, and hopefully it'll still be on the screen one time I do get to see that. But it was okay. It's much better than Age of Ultron, which I tried to watch, and it was kind of very painful to get through certain scenes, and after a while, I just pretty much gave up watching it. So, like, my wife is, the other day, text me a picture of the Civil War shopping bags that they have at our local grocery store called Publix. And I'm like, yeah, I can do without it. But it's like, but you would buy the movie. And I said, yeah, I would buy the movie, but that's about it. I'm not going to actually go anything further than that. I'm not going to be oohing and aahing about action figures or anything like that. It's done its job. It's done it well. It just, again, I think for me at this point, I'm kind of, like I said, burnt out. So let me get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I wanted to kind of tackle this in a couple of ways, but to really sum up the Inhumans storyline that's been going on for season 3. So if you've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like I have, that's the big storyline. That's what's going to be telling us down the road, years from now, that the Inhumans movie that Disney was planning to do was going to be tied in somewhat. Well, that's not going to happen, and that's the problem. They took that off the slate because Indiana Jones and some other Disney movie were going to be around that same plate or same date. So they took that off altogether. Now, granted, we're talking about five years from now, if not sooner, that movie would have taken place. But on the second hand, Agents laying down, so to quote, quote unquote, the groundwork for Inhumans, from what I've been reading, we're not going to have any kind of stake in that movie. So you've done all this work, and now you don't have an Inhumans movie to kind of play into. Where does that leave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's pretty much out there, and it's lost. Not that it wasn't lost to begin with, but when we saw Winter Soldier, if you have not seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or have quit partially through the first season, I say by episode 6, watch Captain America Winter Soldier, jump on to episode 6, season 1, and finish that last half of the season. I think you would be more than happy and more than pleased about the results from what happened in the movie and in the fallout and how it all ties in with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then season 2 kicks off really great with a tie-in with Agent Carter, like I said earlier. So it does have a good connection and it does keep the ball going. So when you don't have a new Avengers movie or a new character movie, Agents does what it's supposed to do. But again, now that we don't have an Inhumans movie, where does that leave us? Well, you're left with this kind of storytelling that's not really connected to anything. So when we see the beginning of this episode, which is called Emancipation, we see Coulson sitting in a bar, watching a newscast, and you hear Captain America is missing in action. So we have this sense of whatever that's going on, it's going on in real time. But the connection is with the Sokovia Accords was that they wanted to have Coulson and his team with the Inhumans come out of the shadow, so to speak, to be registered or to be part of this accord, just like the whole premise of the Civil War story. It doesn't work well. I get the storyline they were trying to work with the Secret Warriors, which is the comic book tie-in, with the agents themselves having a small group of superhero teams, including Daisy as with her powers. And that's great. I'm all for that. But I think because you can't do these powered episodes like you would see on the big screen, it's lesser. But on the same token, Flash has done some incredible stuff that I've seen on the small screen that really could be easily translated to the big screen with a few tweaks, and then boom, it's on par. Legends of Tomorrow even has a good sequence. So the question lies is, what is the problem? And I think because there is no connection, really, or there is a lack of connection to the MCU, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be lost out there. And now that we don't have another season of Agent Carter, which, again, I'm really pissed that this is not going to happen at this point, you might as well just kind of wrap up Agents altogether. Or do like what they did on Battlestar Galactica and do like a year or two jump, kind of reset the calendar, and let's say we got a new team and a new purpose. Hell, they did it for, you know, X-Files. They did it for Heroes. So I think let's end the way things are going. Whatever this vision that Daisy has about some character that's floating in space inside of one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s ship. Who knows what character is going to be that is prophesized to be dead. But at this point, I really couldn't care less who that person is or why it's even happening. All I thought when I saw the return of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the season mid-season cliffhanger was that there's the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and maybe there was tied into Civil War because there was some kind of fallout. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was brought in to help fight with the Civil War. No, nothing. Not even bringing Coulson into the fold. So it's a very frustrating feeling to see the show from week to week hoping that there's some kind of glimmer that they have some kind of plan. But right now, there's not much of a plan that's out there. So, sadly, I'm going to still be watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. until it's done. And even though I'm kind of checked out already, I'm still watching it. And again, I'm hoping for that one moment, like, yes, they did it. They did something that made me want to continue to watch this. Not out of self-pity or anything like that. So I don't know. I'm not really happy the way things are turning out. So, for the most part, I'm going to have to give myself a break. Which is why I will be doing another podcast after this, the sci-fi news for this week. And I'm going to give myself at least another 2 weeks. Because one, I was injured. Again, I talked about my back. I haven't run in almost close to a month, which is bad. And I sound very congested and very nasally. So I do apologize if I sound like, you know, what the hell's up my butt? It's not. It's up my nose. And I'm trying to get that cleared up because I have a trip next week with my son, a school field trip to St. Augustine. So I'm looking forward to doing that and some time off. So hopefully when I get back, there'll be a lot more podcasts which I can talk about, which I've been dying to do, such as the Prince tribute one and the gaming one. So the sci-fi news will be shortly put up sometime this week. And then, again, 2 week break before I do another episode. So if you like what I'm doing, please like me on Facebook, like me on iTunes. Look up my stuff on Instagram, Twitter. I'm everywhere on social media. So if you type in the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast and you find something, click it. You'll never know what you find there. So thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.